Gray wolves have a complicated story in Wisconsin. Gray wolves were driven to near extinction in the 1960s. With legal protection, the population rebounded. And now they're a problem for farmers who've seen their livestock killed and people who've lost pets and hunting dogs. Conservationists and Native Americans, though, want to see the safeguards continue for the species. Rich Kramer is a reporter for WPR based in Eau Claire. He collaborated with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism on a story about wolves in our state. Rich, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So it sounds like gray wolves still very much a contentious issue in Wisconsin, even if they don't grab headlines every day.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I thought that deer were like the most politicized animal in Wisconsin, and they certainly do garner a lot of attention with the different rules. CWD, for example, is a big concern. But wolves definitely take the cake in terms of getting people passionate one way or the other about any number of things, whether they should be protected federally or not, whether there are too many or too few. You could come at it from any angle and you'd find a disagreement.
You know, we talk about not wanting to present two sides of an argument, that we're talking about all sides, but there are a lot of sides to the gray wolves argument in Wisconsin.
There really are. I mean, you look at the population growth from the dozens in the 1980s and early 1990s into, you know, today there's the last count, there was over 900 wolves in the state. That should, you know, some people would look at that and see that as a huge success story. But there's a lot of others. I mean, particularly agricultural, you know, livestock producers, and also, you know, hunters, bear hunters who lose dogs. They look at that as saying it's out of control. We're not managing the species adequately enough. But then you've also got cultural concerns from Anishinaabe people who see the wolf as a brother and who feel that their fates are intertwined with this animal. And then conservationists who think that wolves shouldn't be delisted until they've recovered 100% of the territory that they held when they were, you know, in pre-European and colonial days. So it's all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of very passionate takes on this.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, that sounds like it's quite a bit. There's quite a bit to go if you look at it from that perspective. Others are saying they're recovered, I guess, recovered enough.
Yeah, and even the argument about whether they can, even if it's even possible for wolves to recover, recolonize all the territory that they had, you know, prior to Europeans coming to Wisconsin and to the Midwest and America. Some people say that it can't be done because it's all developed. You know, there's shopping malls, there's subdivisions. I mean, it's not suitable wolf habitat. And then the DNR has also said that it's possible that we're seeing kind of the peak of the wolf's carrying capacity in Wisconsin because of that conflict that's happening as they spread into more populated areas of central like northeastern Wisconsin and down towards Black River Falls and more central, west central Wisconsin.
Yeah, so it's not even that everyone agrees on what end we want, just can't agree on the means to get there. It's that we don't all agree on the end. Rich Kramer is a WPR reporter based in Eau Claire. We're talking about gray wolves in Wisconsin and their status as endangered species. There is a line for you at 800-642-1234 if you'd like to talk about an encounter you've had with wolves or your position on whether gray wolves should remain on the endangered species list. Rich, you spoke to people for this story whose pets were killed or they had damage from wolves. What did they describe to you? What did they tell you about the effect that wolves have on their lives?
Well, so I spoke with a beef farmer. He raises pulled Hereford cattle in just north or just outside of Medford, Wisconsin, which is in the central part of the state, north central. And he lost a calf in 2014, I believe it was. And he said, not only, you know, he lost his calf that he could have sold for $800. He got $400 through this Wisconsin's wolf damage payment program. So, you know, that to him, he said that was a financial loss. But also, he said it was scary. He was afraid to let his grandchildren play in the woods in the area. I mean, there was this sense of something's always watching these animals that I'm trying to protect, and it was kind of stressful. And also he said that the cattle behave differently when they are being hunted. Whether or not they're attacked and killed, he said these cattle will act differently. They don't breed the same way. They don't eat, and that's important for these cattle to fatten up. And then I spoke with Lori Grosskopf, who's she's a longtime bear hunter, but she's kind of an advocate for raising awareness of the damage that can be caused by wolves, one of many, in north central Wisconsin. And she lost two of her hunting dogs, and she called them family. She said it was very traumatic because these animals were very close to her, and hunting is a big part of the culture up there, she says. So the whole experience was very traumatic.
Yeah, let's welcome Gary from Iron River now. Gary, what's your take?
A few things. One, folks, I'm from Bayfield County, and of course it's a rural county with like 15,000 people in the whole county. I think delisting is fine. I think it's ludicrous to pay reparations to hunters and their dogs. They're out hunting. They take a risk. It's the wilderness as the wilderness was. I also think we shouldn't be paying reparations to farmers. We should let people with cattle have either the dogs that they want to protect them, which we do, or let them shoot the wolves in their area. Mm. And this business of trying to subsidize the system by taking money from the taxpayers to pay individual little groups that benefit one way or the other just seems wrong to me.
All right, Gary, thanks for that. Rich, is this where the taxpayer money comes in, where we're trying to account for the costs that private owners have endured when wolves attack?
Sure. The state since 1985, the DNR, but it was created by the state legislature, this payment program, has been offering payment for cattle, you know, they call them hounds, that's hunting dogs, deer from deer farms, sheep, you know, all sorts of different animals. And to date, they've spent, you know, in that 34 years, more than $2.5 million. The payments generally for cattle, I mean, they don't draw as much controversy as the payments for hunting dogs. And it's just like the caller said, the idea is that people are bringing their dogs, they're hunting generally bear, but they can also hunt other animals like bobcats, but they're going into wolf territory basically at a time, sometimes during the summer months when wolves have young set up at what are called rendezvous sites. It was described to me as a wolf daycare. And they just don't tolerate any dogs coming through. And when you're hunting with a dog, the dog's way ahead of you on a big chunk of public land, and you're following radio signals. You can also hear them baying or, you know, barking at a bear that they tree. But the wolves just don't tolerate that. They kill the animals. So the payments for hunters or for hunting dogs is very controversial. Mm-hmm. And that's the number one of in all the individual categories. The majority of the funds in this wolf damage payment program have gone to hunting dogs. And then as far as the livestock producers, when the state had management authority, and this happened 2012 is when Wisconsin was allowed to, they created the wolf hunting bill, or the law, and part of that was they were able to issue permits to farmers to be able to shoot wolves that are attacking their animals. They issued, I can't remember how many, but it was only a fraction of the people that actually used those permits, but I heard anecdotally that people really felt they had a bit of control and they liked that. But now that they're back on the endangered species list because of a 2014 ruling, a federal court ruling, nobody can kill a wolf for any reason except for if there's an imminent danger to human health.
All right, let's take Nick from Green Bay as our last caller here quick. Nick, what's your perspective here?
I think the wolves are awesome. I think they should be left on the endangered species. I used to live at the KSR Air Force Base, the old base, and my black lab was barking at something, and here I went out there, and there was a wolf coming up to him, and I know she's going to do something nasty to him, but I thought it was an awesome experience to see that wolf up close, and it was just a single wolf, and she saw me and took off down the road, and no harm. So, and like the other guy said, I don't think we should be paying anybody for wolf attacks.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Nick. Rich, there's respect for animals in there in what Nick is saying. Do we generally know, as we wrap up here, how Wisconsinites feel about the wolves?
In 2014, I mean, it's a little dated by this time, but in 2014, there was some surveys. There was a survey done gauging attitudes, public attitudes about wolves. And overall, people did have more favorable than non-favorable opinions about wolves. But that changes depending on whether you live in what's called wolf country, which is mostly northern Wisconsin, central Wisconsin, or if you live outside of wolf country. So that's that has a big impact on how people generally view this animal.
All right. Well, this is certainly not the last time we'll talk wolves. Rich, thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
It was Rich Kramer, WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire, and his latest deep dive is called As Wolves Recover, Calls in Wisconsin to End Endangered Species Listing Grow. He wrote it in collaboration with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. You can read it on our website. Visit WPR.org/Central Time.